We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Chicago Bears select.
Welcome to Picks for Polls, presented by The Bear Report. Your number one source for everything Chicago Bears draft news, analysis, scouting reports, and more. Presented by Blue Wire Pods. And now, making their way to the podium, Andrew Freeman and Usaid Koshal.
Joining us now on the Picks for Polls podcast, we've got our second linebacker interview of the offseason. He's coming to us all the way from BYU. We've got AJ Vongpacha in the house. You can follow him on Twitter at AJ_V25. He'll be talking football with us, his NFL draft journey, and a whole lot more. AJ, how's it going? Thanks so much for being on here.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you, and it's been going great.
All right, let's kind of get into it, because BYU, I mean, we're a Bears podcast, right? But BYU is sort of this, like, weird school when it comes to the Bears, just in the sense that, you know, the one of the best quarterbacks, the only quarterback we've ever had, that this franchise has ever had, that, you know, has won a Super Bowl, ironically, went to BYU in Jim McMahon. And then what happens is, when Zach Wilson was just clearing for the draft a couple of years ago, most fans were so into Zach Wilson. So it kind of, you know, BYU just got this incredibly weird history with the Bears. But Anyways, kind of getting into this thing, right? Let's talk your college career first, because you originally kind of didn't go to BYU out of high school. You went to Utah State and then a decision to transfer BYU. You know, why was each program so unique in the sense that how did it help mold you as a player?
Yeah, I mean, my time at Utah State, which, you know, ended up being kind of one of the reasons that I, you know, decided to transfer, was just, you know, a ton of turnover with coaches, you know, every other year with, you know, being a new, you know, linebacker coach or head coach, or even a defensive coordinator. So I've just played in a ton of schemes there, you know, which kind of just helped me just being exposed to so many different, you know, ways of teaching, you know, schemes in general and just techniques. But so that, you know, that's kind of the biggest thing I took away from Utah State. And then, you know, just going obviously to BYU, you know, I kind of went there for a coach that I previously played with. That's kind of the primary reason why I committed there. You know, just being there, you know, I just was able to kind of just, you know, elevate my game and, you know, just continue, you know, just kind of this journey.
All right. So you talk about elevating your game, right? Kind of how do you feel like you elevated your game from Utah State to BYU? Because, you know, when you play linebacker, I mean, the position's changed so much over the last basically 10 to 15 years that the word elevate has kind of taken on, I feel like, a completely different context when you talk about linebackers within different schemes.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, just going to obviously a totally different conference into the Big 12, you know, I knew it was going to be a challenge, but as you know, I took that upon myself, you know, just being able to go into a program, you know, with essentially no spring ball. You know, I didn't do spring ball. I was kind of in the portal throughout that time. You know, had to learn the playbook within that summer, you know, going into camp. You know, obviously I wanted to be in a position where, you know, I was a starter from, you know, game one on. So, you know, just taking that upon myself to, you know, be that guy throughout the offseason, you know, with minimal time. And then obviously going into the Big 12, which is, you know, honestly a little night and day different than, you know, the Mountain West in terms of, you know, offenses you're playing against. You know, it's a lot more pass heavy and stuff. So just being able to expose to that, to just, you know, a true pass heavy, you know, conference was, you know, I think really great for me in terms of my play.
So is it, let me ask you from a linebacker perspective, right? Because I coach safeties and, you know, DBs and wide receivers for the program that I'm at here, you know, mm-hmm. high school here in Illinois. But I have to ask you, from a linebacker's perspective, right, you talk about, like, Mountain West versus some of those Big 12 teams. I mean, was it harder to have to play against those pass-heavy offenses, knowing that, you know, they were not going to kind of show the same formation all game, that they were going to mix it up way more, and you would go from a 3-by-1 to a 3-by-2 to now all of a sudden you're looking at, you know, an empty formation where the quarterback's in the shotgun and is maybe, you know, 5 to 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely just different. You know, that's the best way that I could put it, honestly, because, you know, in the Mountain West, you're getting a lot of 12, 13 personnel teams. They're just going to try to run the ball and, you know, kind of pass off that, you know. But, you know, in the Big 12, you're not getting – you rarely see any 12, 13. You know, it's a lot of 11, 10. And if it is 11, you're seeing that 10 personnel picture, you know, with the tight end spread out wide. But, you know, I think it was just different in the sense of, you know, they're trying to attack you different ways. You know, it's a big numbers game in the Big 12, you know, with the RPOs. You know, they're trying to see how light the box is, how heavy the box is for them to determine whether they're going to run or pass. And, you know, there's some really good quarterbacks and, you know, skill position players in the Big 12. So, you know, I thought it was just eye-opening, honestly, how creative those offenses are and, you know, how they try to attack the defense.
So you are a defender, right, in the Big 12. I mean, we've kind of all heard the whole term, like, they don't play defense in the Big 12. I mean, do you think that that's, like, super false in a sense? Because, you know, there's actually defenses out there, but obviously the people that are going to go ahead and say, well, you know, those schools really don't play defense, they're just not seeing, like, the vast level of talent that exists on both sides of the ball, and how, you know, those schools like Oklahoma and Oklahoma State are just getting incredibly creative with what they do.
Yeah, no, exactly. To your point, that's the main biggest thing. You know, I think the Big 12 definitely does play defense. It's just, I think some of these offenses that, you know, we played throughout the season were just extremely creative with not only the formations, but just how they were using their players and, you know, within the backfield and the misdirection with the pullers going one way and the ball carriers are going the other way. So it's definitely a totally different style of offenses from, you know, just from the Mountain West, you know. So I think it's unique, but, you know, to say that the Big 12 doesn't play defenses, you know, I think it's definitely false, because, you know, there's definitely some good football, you know, on both sides of the ball. It's just, you got to just take it for what it is and the creativity from one side. So
exactly. And I think there's such a level of appreciation that you have for, you know, what opposing teams and opposing offenses are going to throw at you. But you mentioned a lot of different stuff. Like, you're looking at, you know, wide receiver sets, whether the tight end is right next to the tackle or split out wide into the slot. I mean, all that stuff is just tendencies you pick up by studying film, right? You watch film individually, you watch it with your positional group, you watch it as a team. I mean, what's your process for kind of breaking film down? Are there any, you know, specific routines that you follow?
Yeah, I try to just stick with, so I mean, just, you know, going through Monday, obviously you watch the game week from previous, but you know, going to that next week, you know, I just try to sort all the games by you know, formation, and kind of just start there, you know, seeing what they like to do out of their favorite formations. Are they run heavy, are they pass heavy? And then after that, you know, after taking notes on that and kind of getting a general understanding, you know, I take a kind of a deeper dive into, you know, what do they like to do in certain, you know, down in distances, you know, are they more pass heavy, are they more run heavy? And, you know, after going through that and kind of just separating by, you know, what they like to do from a run perspective to a pass perspective, you know, I kind of get a better idea. And, you know, it just allows me to go into the practice week and, you know, see it, you know, in a live setting, you know, try to guess, or not guess, but, you know, kind of, you know, see what's out there from, you know, the offensive splits and formation, and, you know, kind of just go from there, honestly.
I mean, yeah, you know, when you are playing defense, it's really interesting because you're not just focused on, like, your one assignment. You're kind of focused on what all 11 guys on offense are going to do But, you know, we're a Bears podcast, and Chicago's obviously a city known and a franchise known for its linebackers. Like, this is a type of fan base where you could be walking down the street here and you will literally hear a random conversation about linebackers, or you will end up just, you know, asking a Bears fan, like, hey, name who the starting linebacker was during week 17 of the 2013 season. And, you know, it's usually a guy that the casual NFL fan will never actually remember, but the diehard Bears fans will always kind of tell you who it is and their stats and all that. So what do you know about the Bears franchise in terms of their history of linebacker play?
Yeah, obviously I just know, you know, I don't know a ton of information on the city itself. You know, I've never been out that way or whatnot, but the franchise itself, honestly, I know they play, you know, historically good defenses, and they've had great, you know, linebackers. So honestly, that's the extent of it. And, you know, it's obviously, you know, a franchise who constantly looks for great linebackers, like you point out. So, you know, honestly, it would be, you know, honestly, just a privilege to be a part of that organization at that position.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, most kind of linebackers, they come to Chicago simply because they look at all the history. But what do you feel like people have to know about you as a person, right? Like, what do you like when you're not, you know, in helmet and shoulder pads and film studying? Because there's obviously, you know, you as the linebacker, but then there's you also as the person that I think, you know, a lot of times kind of gets left out, because people view, you know, athletes from like the athlete perspective.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, honestly, outside of football and outside of the, you know, film and just the actual, you know, football part of itself, you know, I don't do too much. You know, I kind of just keep my head down and try to get better at my game any way I can, whether that's, you know, like you point out, the film or whatnot. But, you know, that's me to a T, because, you know, football has taken so much of my life up to this point. So, you know, any rest time or off day I have is usually, you know, football related in some way, shape or form.
I mean, it's kind of interesting because I'm the same way, where it's like my mind is kind of always, and again, I'm in a coach's shoes right now, but it's like my mind's kind of always on something related to the game. But, you know, growing up, when you play, you know, any sport, there's always going to be sort of athletes that, you know, you look up to. Were there any, you know, linebackers or just defensive players in general that you maybe modeled your game after, just in the sense that you would watch them on TV on Sunday, Monday, or Thursday, and then during the week or even in practice, right, you would say, hey, I want to go out and try this move because so-and-so does it on TV every Sunday?
Yeah, no, that's an interesting point. I mean, growing up in Washington, you know, I always watched those guys, you know, Bobby Wagner, you know, KJ Wright. Those are kind of the two primary guys that I grew up watching, just, you know, always watching the Seahawks games. But, you know, I actually didn't play linebacker growing up. So, you know, kind of going to practice and trying things came more from watching guys like, you know, Von Miller. So I just, you know, I started off as a defensive end, you know, edge. And so just, you know, watching pass rushers, you know, working on their craft and the moves that would be successful in the game for them, you know, that's always what I tried to do at practice growing up. And, you know, that was always fun for me, for sure.
Do you have a favorite, like, pass rusher, I want to say, that, you know, you absolutely kind of fell in love with as a young adult and as a kid?
Yeah, I would say that's tough. I mean, Von Miller's obviously at the top of my list just growing up. But honestly, recently, you know, it's guys like, you know, Michael Parsons, who are not, you know, super, super long, or tall, you know, long. Just get after the quarterback and get a ton of pressures. And, you know, obviously guys like TJ Watt as well. So, you know, I think those are the two top guys that I like, because, you know, obviously it's obviously great to watch guys like, you know, Max Crosby and all those guys, but, you know, not everyone's 6'5 or 6'4 and got that range. So, you know, kind of guys who are a little bit smaller but still get, you know, after the quarterback, I really like to watch.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, and you know, every single player is just so completely different, but a lot of it I think comes down to, you know, who you are yourself as a player, and you know, knowing and understanding, okay, who you are is part of the strengths as well as the weaknesses that you have. You know, what are some of the strengths that you bring to the field that you know are for sure going to translate over to the next level?
Yeah, honestly, you know, some of my strengths and kind of one of my biggest strengths is honestly just the knowledge of the game. You know, my ability to be out there and just process what's going on and just read and react, you know. And honestly, that's helped me a ton, and wasn't the case always, because like I mentioned, I made that transition from, you know, defensive end to linebacker, you know, going into college. And, you know, that was a huge, because you're not just, you know, you're not just rushing the quarterback anymore. You know, you're having to understand what the offense is doing, you know, what the guy next to you doing, you know, make the checks, get the call from the sideline. So, you know, having to do that, you know, took me a while from, you know, just trying to learn my responsibility to, you know, being that guy out there who's facilitating that defense, you know, setting the defensive line, you know, making the checks, and, you know, when the offense comes out and empty. So, you know, stuff like that. And obviously just my mental side of the game, I think, is probably one of the strengths that I know for sure will translate to the next level.
So you talked about all that communication, right? Like, you essentially, as linebackers, you're kind of like the quarterbacks of the defense. But
right,
what does, you know, the communication piece look like for you guys and for you specifically as a linebacker when you see the offense kind of change up their look pre-snap from something maybe you weren't expecting? You know, how do you think that impacts how you communicate with the defensive line, but as well as the secondary?
Yeah, it impacts it a lot. It obviously all predicated off, you know, what defensive call you're in. You know, if you're in a man coverage, typically there isn't a ton of checks because, you know, you're just man on man. If it's any of, you know, for our case, any of our cover three stuff, you know, they come out and check and they spread out into empty. You know, we typically had a check for every call we had if they came out at empty, right? So, you know, that's not just having to speak to the defensive line, but, you know, you have to talk to the secondary, who's dropping where, you know, typically. And all the cover three stuff, you know, both our linebackers were just typically in the box, and we let the back end kind of rock and roll, you know, depending on the formation. And obviously that's communication all the way through, from the linebackers, you know, to the safeties, because obviously when teams go, you know, you get a team that's no huddle, things start to go very fast, and it's very easy for, you know, one person to be, you know, out of place. And, you know, from what I learned of being in day 12, you know, you're playing good teams week in and week out, you know, one mistake, you know, that's going to be 6 points on the board. So, you know, I think it's very critical to just communicate, just defensive wide, make sure everyone's on the same page.
So you kind of mentioned playing, you know, good teams. I know that this past year you guys played Oklahoma as well as Oklahoma State. What was that experience like, getting a chance to play, you know, those two schools? Because they're certainly, you know, big schools, they're historic, those fans will kind of just travel anywhere. And so to me, you know, I would look at it as like, it's an opportunity to basically have a big game for yourself and, you know, put your name on the map, essentially.
Yeah, 100%. No, just for speaking from an experience perspective, it was awesome. You know, obviously you see those games on the schedule early on in the year, you want to serve those, right? Because, you know, they're going to have good players all across the board. And, you know, historically, you know, you've heard about them being great teams. And those are two of the, I think I want to say four or five teams that were ranked throughout the season that we ended up playing. So, you know, I thought it was great. You know, I really felt like those two games should have went our way. You know, if you really look at those games, it came down to the, you know, down to the wire, and really a few plays dictated the outcome of those games. You know, Oklahoma State, I think, double overtime, and Oklahoma came down to essentially the fourth quarter with a few plays, and you know, they just ended up not going our way, unfortunately. But you know, two games that you definitely want to get back. But credit to them, they made some good plays down the stretch for sure.
I mean, I think I remember watching both of those games, and again, you know, being in Central Time Zone, those kind of games out west are always tougher because it'll be like midnight and I'll be like falling asleep, you know, on the couch, but I'll be like, no, I just have to stay up. There's like whatever, 7 more minutes left in the fourth quarter. Like I want to go ahead and watch this thing to the end because I have a feeling it's going to come down to the wire. But you know, part of playing linebacker is also just reading and understanding what are those front five guys going to throw at you, right? What is the offensive line going to throw at you? What is maybe the tight end who's got his hand in the dirt going to throw at you? What is the running back doing when he's on, you know, one side of the formation? So how have you kind of gone about reading the reading the tight ends, the guards, the running backs over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, it's been good. I mean, it kind of all starts, you know, with the interior offensive line for me, you know, when it comes to my keys initially. And depending on the coverage, you know, if it's a man formation and, you know, you have a Y off, you know, we essentially communicate that, you know, the both linebackers and the safety are on a string, you know, with those two backs in the backfield. But yeah, honestly, you know, any initial snap, my eyes go directly to the offensive line with my coverage responsibility. You know, if I get any pullers, you know, that's typically where I'm going, unless, you know, obviously my coverage goes in the opposite direction. But those have kind of been the biggest things. And, you know, I honestly didn't see a ton of conflicting keys until I got into the Big 12. So, you know, you would get a pulling guard one way, your coverage goes another way. So, and, you know, when things happen so fast, it's hard to not go with the puller immediately. You know, you want to just get there before the ball carrier does. But you know, at times teams like Kansas, you know, will have your coverage going an opposite way, especially with the running quarterbacks that they had, you know, go the opposite direction. But you just have to kind of just stay disciplined and stay true to your assignment because, you know, one time you don't go with your coverage, you know, they're just going to dump it off to them for a huge gain. So, you know, I think I would just say those are the biggest things for those keys.
Yeah. And it's all about, you know, just being able to kind of stay disciplined, you know, and just know your assignment, but then also understanding how you have to change your assignment on the fly. Right. Now, there's two parts to the draft process, right? There's the part where you kind of go ahead and have to, you know, meet with teams and interview with them and all that type of good stuff. And they're trying to get to know you as a person, but also as a player. And then there's, feel like also the flip side of it, which is you as an individual doing your homework on cities, on teams. You know, how much homework have you done on teams throughout this process, knowing that you don't know where your next stop is going to be? So you kind of have to know what all 32 teams and, you know, cities are like.
Right. And like you said, I'm trying to do as much homework as I can with the information I have, right? You can't obviously know the exact situation that you're going into, but honestly, the extent of what I'm doing is just trying to watch any defensive film that I can from the league. You know, my media people at BYU do an amazing job of just sending me any defensive film that, you know, they can get, but just being able to see, you know, how these defenses work, you know, from a, you know, as a unit. And obviously I don't know the calls and stuff, but I can obviously see, kind of get a general understanding of what's going on and, you know, how they work together and in unison. But you know, that's the extent of what I'm doing, you know, just so, you know, for whatever, regardless of what team I go to, you know, I can have a general understanding of what's going on there.
So, and I've got like a couple more for you here, but you talk about watching film and just watching tape to get an idea of what teams are doing. Have you watched any Bears tape at all to get an idea of, you know, what this 4-3 Tampa 2 defense is like here that Matt Eberflus is running?
Yeah, I haven't, honestly. That's one team I haven't got my hands on yet, but I'm definitely going to reach out to my guys at BYU, see if I can get some of that film, because, you know, obviously it's just so interesting how from college to the NFL, things work a little differently. You know, they have, you know, one thing I noticed is just, you know, they'll bring in safeties and, you know, DBs to fit things in the box. You know, in college, you know, I was never experienced where, you know, the guys that playing defensive back or not fitting things in the A-gap, you know what I'm saying? But in the NFL, like, you know, those guys are definitely big enough and physical enough to, you know, if needed to, they're going to fit that. They fit that run in the A-gap. So, you know, that's definitely just one point that I've seen so far.
Yeah, everything moves so much faster at the next level too. And, you know, you're looking at this in terms of, as a player, you know, whether it's offense or defense, there's, you have your base plate, and then it's kind of like a tree in a sense that you have your base plate, your base formation, which is sort of your base responsibility. But then if the offense or the defense comes out in a certain way or another look, then all of a sudden your responsibility literally changes within an instance. And then based on that one variation, there's two to three other kind of sub variations that exist in terms of, you know, what you're supposed to be doing, what your keys are, what your responsibility is. And then also you kind of have to know, you know, how that impacts the other 10 guys around you. But right. Got two more for you here. So where are you training right now? You know, kind of what is your daily routine like when it comes to just getting ready for the month of April?
Yeah. So I'm out here in Denver, Colorado at Mando Performance. And honestly, it's just a scheduled, you know, we're going 6 days a week. Typically in the morning, it's, you know, some type of field work, whether it's the, you know, 40 yard dash stuff or whatever, or the 5-10-5. And then, you know, kind of come back around at about 1 or 2 o'clock to kind of get that weight room stuff. But and you kind of mix in the position work twice a week in there. And, you know, honestly, that's kind of been the process for now for about, I want to say about 10 or 12 weeks now. So, you know, just kind of been a grind and just trying to stay true to it, because, you know, obviously that pro day is coming up and just want to kill it, honestly, at the end of the day.
So last one for me here, but what do you feel like makes this NFL draft journey so worth it for you, knowing that you do have, there's yourself that you're obviously rooting for and you want to succeed, but then you've got family members and friends who you're trying to kind of, you know, bring them along with you as well for what this journey is eventually going to be?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you know, you kind of hit it right on the head. You know, this is something that I said, this is a goal I set for myself, you know, when I was younger. And honestly, this is just, you know, the next step to it, you know what I'm saying? So I, you know, I saw myself wanted to go play in college, you know, Division I, you know, I was able to do that. And, you know, obviously wanted to play professionally. So just being able to hit that next step is huge for me, because, you know, it's obviously a long life goal of mine to just make my family proud and, you know, kind of just see it through for sure.
Absolutely. AJ, thanks so much for hopping on here. Where can people kind of follow you on Twitter or Instagram and just, you know, keep up with your journey?
Yeah. So, I mean, like you said, you kind of, I think you mentioned my handle at the beginning for my Twitter, but my Instagram is a little different. It's just AJ_VONG_. But, you know, that's kind of the two social media sites that I'm on if I can. I'm not super active, but, you know, when I am, I guess those are the two.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. And make sure you're following AJ on Twitter at AJ_V25. Thanks so much for hopping on the show here, AJ. You know, best of luck to you the rest of the way. Keep in touch and, you know, hope that you are wearing a Bears jersey relatively soon here.
Yes, sir. No doubt. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.